For all of us who are from other countries, this is a good day to remember of our own heroes and of the fact that freedom is always bought with blood. Nothing is free. We hear this time and time again, that nothing is free and our freedom is not free. And it just seems that as generations go by, we have this saying that we always refer to, right? Whoever doesn't remember their history is bound to repeat it, right? Repeat it over and over again. And sometimes you just look back at the history of your people or of other peoples, and you just realize, man, Solomon was right. There's nothing new under the sun. And history oftentimes repeats itself, sometimes with goods, many times with tragedies. But I believe days like this are days when we have the duty, not only the privilege, but also the duty to remember that freedom is bought with blood, and that there were soldiers, people, human beings, fellow Americans, fellow citizens, fellow Romanians, as I think of my own country, who have shed their blood so that we can enjoy worshiping in freedom today. This still happens in the world, actually. There are wars, there are news of wars. And today we remember those who have shed their blood for our freedom, and we keep in prayer those who are still battling, right? Who are still on the battlefields in order to keep this freedom alive. As I said in the beginning during the worship time, and by the way, I want to thank you for your patience and generosity in getting involved from time to time into new songs. I know it's not always easy, and it's sometimes outside of our comfort zone to engage in new songs, but I remember of Christ's words, who said the wise man takes out from the treasury of his heart what? New things and old things, right? But the condition is what? The man to be wise. We need wisdom, both in old and in new. And I think at the end of the day, what matters most is for the name of Christ to be lifted up, to be honored, and for us to be encouraged as a congregation. So I want to thank you. I know it's not an easy experience for everyone to engage in new songs. As for us, maybe the younger generation, we're not so familiar with all the songs of our grandparents and parents. So there is a middle ground where we both meet and we serve the Lord with gladness. So I want to thank you for that, for your availability for that as well. I love old hymns. I grew up with, ours was red, was not green, but we had our red hymnals in my church. Back home, so I really, really treasure the old songs as well. I think if we measure them in terms of old and new, maybe that doesn't do justice to the comparison between the songs, because after all, it's the message that is the most important. Whether old or new, it doesn't matter. It matters for Christ to be lifted up and for us to be encouraged. So I want to assure you that I want to serve you to the best of my abilities, in also introducing new songs, but also, of course, building upon the foundation of the old songs that have built our faith so far. So, if you have suggestions and ideas, please always feel free to talk to me, and I'd be glad to serve together in this. That's basically our main desire here. I was looking at a... As I mentioned at the beginning, I was still debating between two messages that I believe God has put in my heart. One had to do with something that I just read in my daily reading of the Bible this week. And God just spoke to me in a special way about that passage. And then there's the other one that is more, let's say, both of them are connected to our special day of remembrance today. But then, as I thought about it more and more, about what Memorial Day stands for, I could not help but remember that Christ himself set up a Memorial Day, did he? And I was conflicted in my heart. I was thinking, I want to talk about, and in the bulletins you're going to have something that I will not preach this morning, just because I have decided for the other message, and I believe it is from the Lord, so I need to be obedient to that. But I could not help just more and more and more being reminded this week of the memorial day that Christ has set for us. Because I believe the more we think and the more we appreciate and show our gratitude towards our heroes, towards our soldiers who have paid blood for our freedom, we cannot, I believe, help but look beyond this, and this to kind of point our eyes even more to the supreme sacrifice of blood that bought our freedom, isn't it? I was reading an interesting article on I believe it's the History Channel. They were talking about the history of the Memorial Day and how on May 5th, 1868, General John A. Logan, leader of an organization of Northern Civil War veterans, called for a nationwide day of remembrance later that month. The 30th of May, he said, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. So his intention was, we need to remember this, because this is huge for our country. There has been, that was the, continues to be the greatest civil confrontation, civil war in America. 600,000 to 800,000 Union and Confederate soldiers died. But I read about this news, which I thought, this connects so well to us. And I'm going to read from the article because it's easy. It wasn't until a remarkable discovery in the dusty Harvard University archive in the late 1990s that historians learned about a Memorial Day commemoration organized by a group of freed black slaves less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865. So they actually looked into the archives of old newspapers and old documents, and they realized there was a manifestation, there was a Memorial Day, if you want, just less than a month after the war was finished. Because they were wondering, okay, which was the first day that the American people has put aside to remember those who died in the Civil War. And as they were searching, they realized there was something. It says in the New York Tribune and the Charleston Courier, it says that a crowd of 10,000 people, mostly freed slaves with some white missionaries, stage a parade around the racetrack. This was a horse racetrack where prisoners were being held and later died from the Civil War. So what they did, they took, especially that there was a mass grave for everyone who died. So they took each one of the soldiers who died and just buried them in a proper way, Christian way. So what they did, it says, 3,000 black school children carried bouquets of flowers and sank John Brown's body. Members of the famed 54th Massachusetts and other black Union regiments were in attendance and performed double time marches. Black ministers recited verses from the Bible. So what they discovered is that less than a month after the Civil War was ended, people who were slaves, black people who were slaves, and who were now realizing we're free, one of the first things they did was, we need to remember this. This is huge. We need to remember those who fought for this to happen. And I thought to myself, this is a beautiful, beautiful story of freedom. And we all know from history how horrific the black slavery, the slavery of black people in America and even in the British colonies was. So just imagine the heart of these people when they realize the war is over and now they can be free. And I thought to myself, what a beautiful picture of how we are to approach the Lord's Supper. Every time I know we do it once a month, and I know it's going to be next week. But I thought that is, in some ways, is the memorial day that Christ has instituted for us to remember, 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 remember. And we do remember every month in the first Sunday of the month. But I thought to myself, man, what would those black people, Afro-American people, felt when the war was over and when they said, we need to remember this. We need to honor the heroes who have fought in this battle, and we need to remember it. We need to do something. Because this is huge. This is not just a normal day. This cannot just pass by us. Because it's huge, right? For their existence, for their life, for their future, everything changed. And I thought, I just thought, you know, not further away than last month, when I, and just even the anticipation that I have for next week, for the Last Supper, how much of this feeling do I still have? Right? How much am I aware of the significance of the Lord's Supper, of this memorial day, let's say, that Christ has instituted for us? And I want to remind ourselves, myself included, this morning, that this is huge. The Last Supper is huge. Because it talks about something huge that happened. Because all of us can identify ourselves as slaves. Slaves to sin. It is hard and it's horrific to be slave of another human being. And for that human being to have the right of life and death over you. And you have no word in it whatsoever. But how horrific is it to be the slave of, let's say, of yourself, and by this I say, of your own desires, of your own addictions, of your own sinfulness, which is, of course, fueled by Satan, because we are under the authority of Satan. When we are slaves to sin, we are slaves to Satan, and we are slaves and bound to death. How huge is it that when Christ takes up the bread and breaks it, and when he takes up the cup and gives it to the disciples, he says, the war is soon to be over. This is going to be your memorial day, because you need to remember that your freedom, soon to be revealed, has been bought with a broken blood, with a broken body and with shed blood. How huge is that, right? If we think about it, and it's true, the sacrifice of Christ makes the theme of so many of our songs, right? Makes the theme of so many of our sermons, makes the theme of so many of our prayers and of our thankfulness. And yet, it is possible that in this routine that sometimes we get into, it's possible that we don't always meditate. We celebrate it, we talk about it, we sing about it, but we don't spend maybe time, or we need to be refreshed into remembering how huge, how amazing, how life, not only changing, life-giving, the sacrifice of Christ was for us. And now a memorial, they always have two sides, right? There are those, well, maybe three sides. There are those who die. No, I'll say two sides. Because there are those who die for our freedom. And now there's two sides to it. There's people who enjoy the benefit, right? We enjoy the freedom paid with blood by those who have died for us. But then there's the other side of the families who have lost the dear ones, who would rather sometimes, maybe they have the thought, I wish I could have him back. I'd rather be a slave but just have him back. Sometimes there is this thought, although I know, I'm pretty sure that all the families who have lost dear ones, they know what their children or what their husbands died for. And I don't think they would ever take that back. But there is this, someone's loss is someone else's gain, isn't it? There is a father who loses his son. There is a mother who loses his son or daughter. There is a wife who loses their husband. And there's a husband who loses their wife. There's children who lose father or mother. But then there's people who lose. Someone's loss is someone else's gain. Because we, as people, enjoy freedom as a gain from the loss that other families have suffered. So there's this tension between losing and gaining. And I think this is what sacrifice is all about. Sacrifice means losing in order to gain. But you cannot gain without first losing. And I believe this is what exactly what the sacrifice of Christ talks to us about. And I would like to read for us these verses. They're from Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. We know these verses. They are the recording of the Last Supper that Christ has instituted as a symbolic reminder, and not just a reminder, also as a symbolic means of fellowshipping with Him in what has happened at the cross. And I'm going to read Matthew 26, verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's just have a word of prayer to the Lord. Lord, in this special day of remembrance, we pray that even today you would point our eyes more to you and to the meaning of your sacrifice. Lord, we are so thankful, we are so grateful for all the people who have paid for our freedom with their blood. And we know there's no way we can repay that except for giving our own blood for the freedom of future generations. But Lord, even more, today we remember of your own sacrifice for us. We remember of what a difference that made into our lives, because we are basically now alive because of it. So Lord, will you please open the word for us? It's a message we have heard so many times before, but please make it special for us this morning. Let it touch the depths of our hearts with gratitude, with thankfulness, and with encouragement to live in light of your sacrifice and resurrection. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again for us. Amen.